You're listening to WBTV LP, Burlington, Vermont, streaming online at 99.3 WBTV.org. This is Write the Book, the show for writers and curious readers. I'm Shayla Connor Shapiro. Today on Write the Book, I'll speak with Vermont author and illustrator Amy Huntington, whose latest book is Fresh Picked Poetry, A Day at the Farmer's Market. Words by Michelle Schaub, published by Charles Bridge. Amy Huntington is an author and illustrator who lives in Williston, Vermont. She wrote and illustrated the children's book One Monday. In addition, she has illustrated many other children's books. Grandma Drove the Garbage Truck, Grandma Drove the Snowplow, Grandma Drove the Lobster Boat. All of those have words by Katie Clark. Take Me Out to the Ball Game, Favorite Children's Songs, words by Jack Norworth. Subtracting with Sebastian Pig and Friends on a Camping Trip, words by Jill Anderson. Moose Power, Muskeg Saves the Day, words by Susan W. Beckhorn. No English, words by Jacqueline Jules. Seagull Sam, words by Katie Clark. And Matthew and Tall Rabbit Go Camping, words by Susan Meyer. Amy Huntington illustrated all of those books. Here's the bio on her website. I spend a lot of time every week drawing and painting in my sketchbooks. It's one of my favorite things to do. My sketchbooks go with me wherever I travel, and that's where some of my story ideas start. At home, you'll mostly find me in my studio, next to the kitchen, writing stories and making pictures. I use pencil, pen, watercolor, oil, and gouache paints, and the computer, too. I paint on paper, bits of wood, barn doors, and my mailbox. She has a great website at amyhuntington.com, which is definitely geared toward children, which is so appropriate. Beautiful illustrations there, also on Facebook, and she has a WordPress blog. I spoke to Amy Huntington once before, early in the days of this show. When I talked to her this time, I asked her to remind us of how she got her start as an illustrator and artist. We began by talking about her education. I hope you enjoy this interview.
I studied art, and it really was fine art, so I really didn't study illustration at all.
Okay.
So I studied painting, mostly.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. And do you still paint outside of illustrating?
I do still paint. I actually brought my sketchbook to show you at some point. But I love to... I did watercolors for a while that I showed in local galleries, but what I really love to do is I love to paint when I travel. So I take a sketchbook with me, and I take a little tiny set of paints, and wherever I am, I've got my I often travel with my daughter or my husband, and they're very good at finding something to do while I take, you know, a half an hour here, an hour there, and paint. And so I do that a lot, and that's very refreshing. I think that refreshes all of my work if I have a chance to do that.
Now, you have in front of us a notebook, and so is that what you mostly paint in? You use like
a, I bring a sketchbook.
Okay,
yep.
So you don't necessarily set up an easel and
no,
go out
I don't
into
do
the
that.
Field.
Nope, I go out with some, and sometimes I'll just take a fountain pen and just do that, and then I'll take a picture, and when I'm in my hotel room or whatever later on, I'll work on the painting in some of the colors, but I really like to just have the paints out with me and do that.
Now, I was going to ask you, and I will still ask you, how you would describe your style as an illustrator, but now I'm curious if your style as an illustrator has crept into your other work, and do you find that as you paint, your style as a children's book illustrator kind of creeps in?
Yeah, I think it definitely does. And what happened a few years back is that I decided before this last book that just came out, Fresh Picked Poetry, I was feeling like my style was getting sort of drab and old, and it wasn't fresh to me anymore. And so I really wanted to change it up. So I spent a lot of time looking at what other people were doing, and also just looking at other kinds of art, and I have really sort of changed my style of painting and especially illustrating, and that's been really good. That's been really fun. It's almost like a career change, you know.
Was it hard to figure out what you wanted to
change? It really was. It took a while to figure out, because you get so used to painting a certain way, so you sort of naturally drift back to that. So it's taken me a while to sort of try to put that behind me and work on some new images. And
can you describe what's changed at all, or any of it?
It's a little less realistic and a little more stylized, which sort of frees me up to do a lot of different things that that are just out of my head, I think, which is what I like about it.
Oh, nice. Yeah. All right. So how would you describe your style to someone who hasn't seen your work?
Oh, I don't know. I work in watercolors. That kind of describes a lot right there. And I would say it's a little more, airy, more white space. It's so rather than filling every little bit of, spread in watercolor, I've sort of opened it up a little bit. It's much looser. So I'm playing with a watercolor and not worrying about staying right in the lines. And I'd say my figures are of people and animals are a little more, I think, people would often describe that as cartoony, just because I've sort of, you know, I might give a child skinny little legs and, you know, a rounder face or an animal, you know, just zebra stripes might just be straight up and down stripes rather than how a zebra really looks. And
Right.
Yeah,
right.
So okay. I guess that's the best way I can describe it.
So now, when you start a new illustration, where do you start? How do you start? Like, actually, the actual creative process. Like, what do you put down on paper first? Do you do some sort of, like, gray wash before you start with color? Or
I usually start, lately I've been working with a watercolor pencil. So it's a graphite pencil that once you go over it with water, you can actually sort of wash it right out, or you can use it as a pencil line. So I start with pencil.
And those are in the colors that you'll eventually...
No, it's just graphite, so it's
really
just a gray. Yeah.
Okay.
And then I go into that with watercolor. Mm-hmm. And then I often go over that with a watercolor pencil.
And I remember when I first interviewed you, you talked about something called gouache?
Gouache, yeah, I do use gouache. Gouache is an opaque watercolor.
Okay.
So if I want to go back into a piece and get some lighter areas over darker areas, I can use a white mixed with a color and go over.
Okay.
Which is a nice way to sort of touch up.
Or fix.
Yeah, fix. And the other thing that I do a lot more, well, which I wasn't doing at all before, is I go back into it with Photoshop digital work. I can clean up a lot of stuff. I can make things bigger or smaller, move them around.
That must have just changed everything.
It does change everything. It is so much fun. And the other thing that I do is, for instance, right now I'm working on a book about mountains and how mountains are formed. And so I have two figures. And so I will do the entire landscape and I'll do the figures separately. And then I can just set them in the landscape on Photoshop, which is just so much fun to do. It's really a fun way to work.
And then can you just, you can kind of move them around.
I can
figure
move it
out
around.
Exactly
I can make
them
bigger or smaller. Yeah. I can fade them out or make them darker so they come to the foreground.
Are you self-taught on that, or did you have to go and learn how to use that?
I've learned from different people, I would say. I go to workshops where other people, you know, always pick up little tidbits from the way that other people work. It's really hard to start, but once you sort of know how it starts to work, I think it's easier to work your way into and find all the other little nuances that you can do with it.
Right. Okay, so I was going to ask you, how many of your books have you written the words and illustrated, and then how many have you illustrated without doing
the writing? Unfortunately, only the first book I ever published, One Monday, was a book that I wrote, and I have feverishly been writing since.
Oh, okay.
I find that the writing is, for me, is much harder than the illustrating. It takes a lot more persistence and motivation to sit my butt down and get myself writing. It's easy for me to sit down and start a painting, but it's harder to sit down and write. But I did a cool thing. I was invited to do an artist in residence at a community in Georgia. And I did it in February of this
year. The state of Georgia.
Uh-huh. I did it in February of this year. And I had the whole, almost, I was there for most of the month of February.
Neat.
In a little cabin. And just on my own, with nothing, no distractions, I drove down there. My daughter drove down with me, and she didn't stay, but I drove down there. So I had my car. It was kind of away from it. It was outside of Atlanta. And I worked on a story about that I mentioned about making mountains and how mountains are made. And I did the whole manuscript while I was there from start to finish.
Wow.
It's changed a lot since I've come back and revised it.
So wait, you were writing and painting
I was painting various things, but every morning I got up before lunch and I wrote and I worked on that and worked on that. And I'm really happy with it. I think it's one of my best pieces. And I have a lot of written work that's out there with my agent that's making the rounds, but it's so competitive.
Yeah.
That industry is so competitive. And there was a time when editors in the publishing industry would spend time and have the time to look at a manuscript that you sent in and say, oh, this has promise. Let's work on this. Yeah. But now they just want it done. So all of us really have to have work that's ready to go, that needs, when it hits their desk, it needs to be pretty much ready to be published.
That's discouraging because you have contacts, I'm sure, in the industry, having done so many books as an illustrator. It's discouraging to know that it's still
It's still just as hard, and I never realized that when I started out. But, you know, in a way, that's kind of it's a challenge,
yeah.
And I don't mind that too much.
Right. Do you ever try in your work to replicate a feeling that's evoked by the words? So somebody else has written a book,
mm-hmm.
and let's say that the poem that you're illustrating has mm-hmm. a lot of vowels in it. Will you try to evoke the feel of those words in your illustration? Or if there are a lot of consonants, will you do something more with a hard edge? Or is that not necessarily how you might interpret?
I think I probably do that instinctually.
Okay.
Without really, or unconsciously, without really thinking about it.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the one in the Fresh Picked Poetry with the lemonade.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of a hot, steamy summer and just trying to, you know, make the feeling of looking at that, you know, you can't make it hot and steamy, but I wanted you to look at that and feel like it was a hot and steamy day. And I think the poem sort of,
right.
The way that poem is written makes you feel that way as well.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about your latest book is Fresh Picked Poetry, A Day at the Farmer's Market. I love that. I just love that as a children's theme for a children's book. So how did this one start? Were you sent the manuscript that had it already been written?
Yeah, so the manuscript, the poems are written by Michelle Schaub, and it was bought by Charles Bridge Publishing in Boston.
Uh-huh.
And I met the editor through a retreat that I go to in the winter, and had lunch with that editor and chatted with her, and she wanted to offer me that manuscript to illustrate.
Great.
And they were looking for, this is a collection of poems of different things that you would find or do at a farmer's market. And so what they were looking for was sort of a story in pictures that would pull you through the poems from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that for me is what I love to do. So that was I feel like it was a perfect manuscript for me.
Yeah, I loved this book. I thought it was so great. One thing that I found really interesting was there are two friends in this book and they're enjoying the farmer's market together.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not really mentioned in the text.
No, not at all. So I got to just make up whatever I wanted.
Did you just make up whatever you wanted?
Yeah.
So they didn't tell you, we want this to be about two friends at the farmer's market.
No.
Oh, that's
no,
so
that
cool.
was that was my story. I mean, to have a story that pulled through, I'm going to have some characters, right?
Yes.
So I had the two friends and the two dogs. And
yeah, that's so neat. Did you have to run that by anybody before you started doing illustrations, or did you just do it and then?
No, well, I send them the sketches.
The sketches,
but no.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So a couple things that I loved about this, the drawings, the illustrations. I loved that the cars are kind of old-timey,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the whole thing had a feel of sort of a little bit back in time. You know, like, I don't think I saw any cell phones in
no,
hands.
No, that's true.
Right? I mean, you'd never see no cell phones in hands.
Yeah,
so it
yeah.
did feel a little old-timey. I wondered if you had any particular city in mind.
No, you know, I went down to the Burlington Farmers Market, and I took lots of pictures there.
Yeah.
And I had some from the Waitsfield one. And I had a friend who had a bunch from, I think his were Burlington also. But I've been to a lot of farmers markets,
sure.
and I love them, and I've been to some in Hawaii, and I've been to them in Boston, and so, it was fun to just, think about, the different kinds of foods you find. I mean, I was trying to make something that was somewhat, would encompass a wide range of farmers markets, not just ones that I would see here.
Right, yeah. It looked, to be a sort of medium-sized city. You have some sense of scale.
It's kind of Burlington-ish.
Yeah. It could be Portland.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of diversity always in your stories. Mm-hmm. And I just, is that your own desire to just make sure that that's prominent in
our
minds?
I think when I go and visit schools, you know, there's all kinds of kids, and so I've become more and more aware of, you know, just thinking about what kinds of kids, the variety of kids that there are and that I'm going to meet when I go out, and also kids that are going to see this book. And mm-hmm. I want to show everybody.
Mm-hmm. One thing I absolutely love toward the end, there's a baby bucking out of his dad's lap a little bit. You know how babies like sort of like shove their bellies.
And that was
forward?
An actual picture that I took in Burlington.
That was so great. I looked at that. I'm like, that is exactly what that looks like.
And there's a baby on dad's shoulders in one of the spreads, and that is, doesn't really look like, but representation of my son and my grandson.
Oh.
And his name is Forrest, and the dad's t-shirt says Forrest across the front.
Oh, great. Yeah. See, you can do so much stuff. It sounds like such a fun job. You often depict animals in your work, and, mm-hmm. and you put a couple of dogs into this book. So, and I said in my question, you must have enjoyed the dogs being in the book, but you probably came up with putting the dogs in the book.
Yes.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yes.
So is it, do you have a favorite animal to draw and paint?
It's funny, I probably do paint cats and dogs. I've been visiting, I've done a couple of summer program school visits. And I brought them some pictures I did of monsters. I said, you know, I'm trying to break out of my mold of always doing cats and dogs. So I've done some monsters for you, and so I have some sheets that I show them of all these different monsters, and then I draw one, and then I have them draw monsters before I leave.
And you've got the kids in costumes in this book that's a little monstery.
Yeah, well, there was that poem about the zebra tomatoes and the dinosaur kale, and I had to figure out, so what am I going to do with that one? And I was showing an actual zebra and a dinosaur, but of course that doesn't fit because you need to have something that's happening there at the farmer's market. So, yeah, that seemed like because I think you do see people doing dress up things sometimes, or I notice in Burlington they have lots of people down there juggling. And,
oh, right, sure.
Yeah,
there's a whole,
face painting, definitely.
Entertainment aspect to it, too.
Yeah.
Now, so is there anything that's particularly hard for you to draw?
Oh, there's lots of things that are hard to draw. I think people are the hardest.
But you do a great job with people, and you do wonderful expressions. Do you find faces hard or easy?
I find it all hard, but I like the challenge of it. I think landscapes have always been hard for me, and I think the fact that I've gone out and done a lot of, been doing a lot of drawing when I travel has helped with that.
Yeah.
I think probably the hardest thing, and I may have said this last time, the hardest thing for me in illustrating an entire book is to try to keep the characters consistent so that they look like they're the same characters from page to page.
Yeah.
You know, because you're always changing the angle that you're looking at their face, and they're far away or they're close, and, you know, one little tweak and it looks like a completely different person.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so that's
and you're not necessarily working from any real person.
No, no.
So even though you may get ideas from pictures you've taken, you don't have, like, a film to watch.
Right, and I have a little mirror that's up here behind my table, and I usually have a couple of pictures of the characters that I've done so that I can keep looking at those and try to keep it consistent. You know,
right,
they're
right,
sort
right.
of my reference.
Yeah. Let's see. Do you ever share work with other artists for feedback the way that writers
have a critique group.
Oh, you do?
And we meet every month, three other illustrators, authors and illustrators.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And are they all actively working and publishing?
Yes. Yep. Uh-huh. Yep. So that's been really fun.
And are you able to kind of pick each other's brains for sort of publishing options and stuff like that too?
Yeah, or is it everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. We share writing, we share illustration, we share our, our frustrations. And
are you all illustrators?
We're all authors and illustrators.
Authors and illustrators. Yep. Okay. Now, you've illustrated a series of books about Grandma, mm-hmm. written by Katie Clark. Grandma drove the snowplow, Grandma drove the garbage truck, Grandma drove the lobster boat. I don't know what order those went in. Have there been others, or was it those three?
It was those are the three Grandma books, yes.
Yeah. And then I know from your website that for the last one you spent time in Maine, mm-hmm. researching lobster boats and talking to lobster men and lobster women. So what led to that trip, and do you often do research trips?
No, I don't often do. Well, I do local. When I did the garbage truck, I went and looked at garbage trucks and got and sat in on a garbage truck and figured out how the compactor works and all of that. But that came about because I knew nothing about lobster boats and or lobstering, really. So I there was someone I had contact with through the publisher who had a house there. And so she knew someone who had a house that we could rent on Long Island off of Maine. So it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful.
Oh,
my
wonderful.
Husband and I went, and we just spent 3-4 days there. And I just walked around it. Lobstering season was just starting up, so I walked around. And I found a woman, a couple, who had that yellow boat with the purple buoys.
Oh. And you were like, there it is.
There it is, yes. And I said, why the yellow bow and the purple buoys? How did you come upon? Well, she says, well, you know, what else? What, I mean, how could you pass that up? So that was kind of fun.
Did you embody them at all in the drawings of the people?
No, I really didn't do that too much.
No.
And I actually I've gotten some criticism because I... You know, you're drawing all these tiny little lobsters that are really dark, and I ended up putting a lot of red in them, so they kind of all look like they're cooked. And somebody pointed it out. I thought, oh, yeah, I guess I should have made those a little bit darker. But
oh, well, that seems like a... that's a purist.
It was definitely a fun book to do.
Oh, that's fun. So is a series a great thing to
I think publishers are looking for that.
Yeah.
Because I think one book sells another.
Right.
So
will Grandma be driving more things, do you know?
I think that's probably it for Grandma as far as I know. I am this story that I'm working on now, how to make a mountain in 9 easy steps.
Oh, neat.
And it's sort of showing, if you were going to make it yourself, how would you do it? How would you push the, you know, that continental rock and buckle up the mountains? And,
oh, wow.
And how would you, carve it out with the glaciers and the erosion of the rivers and all of that.
Oh, wow.
And
did you do a lot of research?
I did a lot of research, yes.
Kind of,
and I actually have
double check your knowledge.
Yeah, I did that. I've sent it to a geologist, a local geologist, and got some great, really great feedback from him. And but I'm hoping to follow that up with how to make a desert or how to make a plan. So I'll have those ideas when I'm pitching it to publishers mm-hmm. of other books that could follow in sort of the same footstep.
No, actually, I was going to ask you if anybody ever contacts you about illustrating their self-published books.
Yes, often.
And do you say yes, no?
No, I say no. Most of the time, I don't really think the manuscripts are very good when I've seen them. And also, if I'm going to put that much time into it, I want to know what's going to get out there and someone's going to market it.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, it's kind of a crapshoot with self-publishing.
Have you ever considered self-publishing with some of the books that you wrote that didn't?
No, because I feel like if they're not being accepted, that they probably just aren't good enough yet, and mm-hmm. I need to keep working on them. And I would not. I feel like that input from editors and art directors is really valuable. Mm-hmm. That they're making sure it's a great book before it gets out there.
Yeah.
So that's important to me.
That's a great attitude, because I think a lot of people feel very bitter when their work gets rejected. And it's hard not to, right?
Yeah.
It's so hard.
It is hard. And so my daughter and I always laugh about it, because, you know, when we get rejected for anything, you know, she applies for scholarships or...
Is she an artist as well?
No, she's a teacher. But when she's applying for grants or, you know, to go travel somewhere to do some science
yes.
research or whatever... So we always say to each other, you know, you give yourself 24 hours to mope about it, and then you get over it and you move on.
Yeah, that's a good attitude. That's a good attitude. Let's talk for a minute about the business of illustrating books.
Mm-hmm.
So I know most jobs come from the editor and not from an author.
Correct.
Looking for an illustrator. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about illustration, not necessarily mm-hmm. being the writer and illustrator. So do you, it sounds like the editor who got in touch with you for this new book mm-hmm. about the farmer's market mm-hmm. Was not somebody you'd worked with before.
Correct.
So do you tend to hear mostly from people you've worked with before, or do they find you, and how do they find you if they don't know you already?
Oh, how do they find me? Well, I have an agent. For a few years I had an art rep.
Uh-huh.
But I decided I wanted to move away from that and connect up with a literary agent. Mm-hmm. Because I want to get my written stories out.
Mm-hmm.
So she pitches my stories all over, and that's how a lot of people at least know my work. And I know, even though I haven't had anyone take any of those stories yet, that I did myself, not with an agent, but I've been with this agent for a couple of years, and I have had a lot of interest and a lot of positive feedback. So I think, you know,
yeah.
If I didn't have that, I think it would be really discouraging, but I know that eventually I will.
Was it hard to get the agent?
Yes. I would say that is not easy either.
Yeah. That's almost as hard as getting a publishing deal, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, it's again, convincing somebody to put their time and effort into your creative work.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Is it one person, one editor who brings together a children's book? So in other words, is there one editor who's working both with you and with the writer, or are there a couple different people at the publisher?
No, it's one editor and the art director also, mm-hmm. although I don't know that the art director would work with the writer. I would say the editor was pretty much the point person.
Have you ever wished that you were working directly with the writer?
No, I kind of like that go-between.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing, because I think if you have a critique, you know, because I've gone back to the editor and said, you know, I think this would work better written this way, you know, maybe change this a little bit, especially once I get my illustrations in there, because sometimes there are things that are, there are bits that are illustrated and don't need to be in words as well as in illustration, mm-hmm. or, you know,
Or the dinosaur and the zebra thing could have not worked out, and then you might have needed some help
to
make a suggestion.
Yeah. I have worked with authors before, especially when I was with the books that I did with Down East Books. I often have some feedback from the writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I will give the writer feedback as well. But
yeah.
But this last book, for instance, I haven't met the writer at all. So.
Okay. And then I was wondering, just in general terms, not specifics, but how does payment go? What is that like? Is it all royalties, or is there some sort of advance?
No, there's an advance, usually split up over two or three, you know, one after your sign and one after sketches and maybe one after final art.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you've sort of made that up in royalties, you start to get some royalties as well.
Okay. And are all of the books that you've published still in print?
All except for the first One Monday. One Monday I did was Scholastic, and they don't tend to keep them in print unless you've, you know, got a bestseller, I think.
Oh, okay.
But I think all of the ones with Down East are still in print, or at least they're still available.
Mm-hmm. So, let's see, we already talked about your painting. I remember you had little apple people that you were working on last time I was here. Did you have some sort of little sculptures that you were making?
I do have some wool sculptures, which I just recently put away because the moths were eating them.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe these weren't. I was trying to remember what they were. I thought maybe they were dried apple.
I have some little people up there that I did with sort of some paper mache almost.
Okay. Do you do a lot of other stuff? Like, do you just sort of like?
I do woodcuts. Yeah. That's the thing that I probably do. That's kind of a nice little, that's a nice change for me because it's such a different medium.
Okay.
So woodcut printing. And I also do some oil painting on wood sometimes.
And then do you ever do the woodcuts as for your illustrations?
I haven't ever done that, no.
No?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I would, but maybe down the road.
Somebody would have to ask you to, right?
Yeah.
Do you turn to other sources for ideas and inspiration? Like just I don't know, do you have certain websites you'll go to?
I go on Instagram. I follow a lot of illustrators on Instagram, and I find that's really... Sometimes at night when I sit down, I always get my sketchbook out and just sketch out of my head. Sometimes I'll sketch a figure and I'll think, okay, last night I was sketching a little boy and I thought, okay, now what do I want this little boy to be doing? And so I'll flip through Instagram and just get some ideas of just, you know, an animal or something.
Yeah. Something. Do you use Pinterest too?
I have in the past. I haven't been using that recently, but okay. There's a lot on, there are a lot of great illustrations on Pinterest too.
So that's interesting that, like, when you're about to go to sleep at night, you're sketching. So,
yeah.
How much of your day is spent doing art?
A lot of it. Yeah. I would say most of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
You must really like it.
I do.
Oh, that's
I
good.
Really do like it. I used to knit at night. And I find that it's hard for me to do now because I really want to be sketching at night.
Do you read at night?
I do.
Yeah.
So I read when I get into bed, although on the weekends I also read
during
the day.
So have you read anything lately that you would recommend?
I've been reading. Part of this artist residency that I did was two groups funded this. One was the Institute for Child Success, and one was Reach Out and Read, Carolina's. Reach Out and Read is an organization that gives books out through their pediatricians from 6 months to 5 years or something. And the Carolina group was absolutely awesome, and I really had a fun time there. And I went to their, I spoke one evening, and then I went to their workshop or presentations the next day. So the keynote speaker was someone who wrote a book called 30 Million Words or something. And it's about how kids' brains are formed from, you know, birth to 3 years and how language has such a huge effect on all of their learning. And it's just a really cool book.
Oh, wow.
She was a woman who started out as a surgeon. She implanted the cochlear in deaf children. And she found through doing that that some kids did really, some toddlers, infants or toddlers, did really well learning language, and some did not. And what she, so she ended up doing research on how parents talk to their kids and how they interact with their kids and how that has such a profound effect on their learning as older children.
That's great.
So, yeah.
Okay, I just have one last question, and that is, I'll tell you a tiny little story. I have a friend who is this incredible artist. He was an incredible artist in college, which is how I know him, and he was an art major, I think, and he's done lots of different art for a living. And then he decided he wanted to start getting into children's illustration. And so he started just drawing and deciding he was going to do... I mean, I feel like he was very excited, and then he learned how hard it is, right? So that all just leads up to a sort of standard question, which is, do you have advice or tips for new illustrators who want to break into the business? And do you also have any resources that you recommend, either books or online or organizations or anything?
Online, there's a great resource called The Purple Crayon, and it has everything you could possibly ever want to know about children's book illustrating and writing.
Oh, okay, good.
I would suggest that you go to conferences. There are regional and national conferences for SCBWI, which is Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators. And I think the best advice I can give is that you just have to be persistent. You have to have a little bit of a hard skin. You got to take your rejection and mope for 24 hours and then get over it.
And move on.
Move on. But I think that's, that for me, that's the only thing that's worked, is to be really persistent. And also network with other people who are doing the same thing, because I think that if you have, for me to have these other three illustrators that I get together with every month is invaluable, because, you know, we just sort of inspire each other and keep each other going.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think of the four of us, at different times, different, you know, one of us is doing really well and one of us maybe is in a dry spot. And so I think between the four of us, you know, we can see that, okay, we get through that and then we you know, have our moment of success.
And, yeah.
And I find that that's really helpful.
Okay. All right. Great. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Another pleasure. The pleasure was all mine. And another great book, Amy Huntington, the illustrator of Fresh Picked Poetry, A Day at the Farmer's Market. You're listening to WBTV LP Burlington, Vermont, streaming online at 99.3wbtv.org. This is Write the Book, the show for writers and curious readers. You can learn more about Amy Huntington's work at amyhuntington.com, which, as I mentioned before, is a great website for adults or kids. In addition, you might be interested to know a little bit more about the Children's Literacy Foundation, which we discussed during the interview. CLIF is an organization that visits schools, libraries, summer programs, and others in Vermont and New Hampshire that apply through a grant. Authors and illustrators can sign up to be presenters. Amy likes it because it reaches kids who might not otherwise be exposed to these kinds of programs because of budget restraints. And each child gets to pick out two books to take home. They always have a great selection of books. Amy did a handful of visits this year. Also, I should mention the Georgia-based artist residency that we talked about that she attended this last year is Air Serenbe in Chattahoochee Hills, Georgia. I'll put a link on the podcast site. This week, thanks to Amy Huntington, who recommended it, we have an illustrator prompt. Amy writes, "My inspiration for a lot of my recent work comes from nature and spending time outside observing and learning about the natural world around me. I do this near my home and when I'm traveling. I find that sitting quietly in one place, sketching for half an hour, allows me to see more and remember more. I also use details from this work to lend authenticity and depth to my illustration work." So here's her prompt. "Take a sketchbook and your favorite medium," hers is a fountain pen, "and spend half an hour outside drawing. You don't have to find the perfect subject. It can be a tree or a leaf or a knot of twisty roots." Amy writes that she has a barn swallow nest outside her kitchen window that she's been itching to draw. She says, "You'll find that after a bit of quiet sitting, even if it's by a patch of weeds on the edge of a parking lot, you'll start to hear and see critters around you interacting with their environment. And that is all fuel for stories. Good luck with your work in the coming week, and please listen next week for another prompt or suggestion." The book that Amy mentioned that she's really enjoying reading right now, is the full title is 30 Million Words, Building a Child's Brain, and that's by Dana Suskind. If you're interested in sharing this show with out-of-town friends, let them know that archived episodes of Write the Book are available on iTunes and at writethebook.podbean.com as free podcasts. You can visit Write the Book on Twitter and Write the Book Radio Show on Facebook for updates. You can also access the podcast at my own website, shelaughswithoutus.com. So stream the show live each week at 99.3wbtv.org. That's every Monday at 3. And when we are broadcasting, we will be on the air at 99.3 FM. And we will be sure to let you know. If you have a guest to suggest or comments about the show or news about book-related events, please send an email to writethebook@gmail.com. If you like the show, as I said before, please rate it in iTunes, like it on Facebook, tweet about it. We are at Write the Book on Twitter. Tell all your friends. We'd love to have more people accessing the show and listening to author interviews. I'm Shayla Connor Shapiro, and you've been listening to Write the Book on WBTV LP Burlington, Vermont, streaming online at 99.3wbtv.org. Have a great week.